Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great lineup for you today. We're going to visit with Ron Fauché in a 12 o'clock hour, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. And also, Ron wrote an opinion piece in NOLA.com about Joe Biden and the black and Hispanic vote. Very interesting. We'll dig deep into the analytics of the last election and how things could be different this election. And we'll look at some of the most recent polls as well. In the 11:30 segment, Allison Plyer joins us, chief demographer for the Data Center. Louisiana continues to lose residents according to the latest census estimates. Why are people leaving? Allison says that we have policy considerations, that we're not really helping ourselves, and we'll dig deep on those policy issues and how those are connected to the population loss phenomenon. We always set aside a little time for the NOLA Coalition each Tuesday at this time. Sorry, got a little tongue-tied there. Managing partner of the lab by TechPlug, Cornelius Bankston, will be joining us, and we'll talk about what it is that they do. Representative Mark Wright, Republican District 77 from Covington. He's a Republican majority leader. We'll talk about this Christopher Tape, the coroner for St. Tammany. He was one of the signatories asking for this individual to resign. We'll find out what the latest is there. He also proposes, we'll talk about the Constitutional Convention, but he also proposes a bill to appoint the Louisiana Supreme Court justices, and we'll dig deep on what his thinking is there as well. Wanted to open the show talking about the bridge in Baltimore. 11.3 million cars cross this bridge as a commuter bridge, about 31,000 cars a day. It's emblematic of being in touch with one another. The ship's captain puts out a Mayday call that they lost power. They immediately shut down the bridge, and that's why you're not seeing huge numbers as it relates to individuals that were on the bridge that they're actually looking for. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of those who they have yet to find, and we hope that they are all alive. They've been able to pull some people from the water early this morning. One of the other reasons was that it happened at about 1:30 a.m. In fact, we're going to try and get a river pilot on tomorrow. I've been on the phone this morning with folks trying to make that happen to get a better idea of what we can expect. Obviously, we've gone through a similar situation. It didn't hit the bridge, but it hit a dock, created a lot of damage. The river pilot was actually able to steer by dropping anchors and miss the bridge. But this is a risk that we have all the time. We're under the consideration now for the Louisiana International Terminal, container ships such as that, maybe even bigger, that will not have to pass under a bridge, which would be huge for us, and it's something that we're talking about. This vessel, 948 feet long, and it struck one of the pillars of that Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is actually part of Interstate 695. I've been over that bridge several times And so it's going to be interesting to see. The bridge is not that old. It was built in 1977. And marine traffic shows, and this is going to be a supply chain issue before it's all said and done as well, 40 ships remain in dock that were due to depart from the Baltimore port, and there are 30 other ships that have already signaled Baltimore as their destination. And as long as this channel remains closed, it will be a significant disruption. The Port of Baltimore is a 20 is among the 20 biggest in the U.S. based on total tonnage, according to the transportation Federal Transportation Department. And obviously, there will be shipping delays. Insurance is a big issue this year in the state legislature. We had Tim Temple on the other day, the insurance commissioner for the state of Louisiana, and was kind of looking at a number of different articles in California. State Farm decides to cut 72,000 California home and apartment insurance policies. The old saying that there's saying that the collapse happens slowly, then suddenly, well, that seems to be what's going on with the insurance markets across this country. State Farm has for a while not been accepting applications for new homeowner insurance policies. They had shut that down, I think, last year. And now they just announced that they're going to discontinue coverage for 72,000 existing policy owners starting this summer. State Farm blames inflation, regulatory costs, increasing risk from catastrophes for its decision to scale back in California. State Farm says that the decision was not made lightly and only after careful analysis of State Farm's general financial health, which continues to be impacted by inflation, catastrophe exposure, reinsurance costs, and the limitations of working within decades-old insurance regulations as part of the reasons. Sound familiar? State Farm General takes seriously their responsibility to maintain adequate claims-paying capacity for all of their customers and to comply with applicable financial solvency laws. It is necessary to take these actions now, it continued. The other day, you recall that we had a conversation, the commissioner and myself, and I said, it seems to me that really what these insurance companies are doing are managing their losses, not necessarily managing their risk. Like California, they're managing forest fires, earthquakes, things of that nature, a lot of it driven by Mother Nature. Well, they have no control over that. So what they do is they look at their finances. And where what they do is they go to less risky Mother Nature states. They'll increase the inventory of business that they'll do there to try and shore up their balance sheet, their financial statements, make money, not run the risk of running afoul of you know, what is required by the federal government in order to maintain financial solvency in their reporting requirements. And this is going to happen over and over and over again. And the only reason I brought it up is not to be critical of anyone, but it's this notion that we keep talking about stability. And, you know, it's curious to me whether or not we're ever going to be able to achieve that because of where we find ourselves and the likelihood of hurricanes and the like. And I brought it up, too, to try and stimulate a broader conversation of how we can move the liability of insurance companies further away and have some underlying policy that we can avail ourselves of that the state or others can involve themselves in. And it may be a number that just about replacing a roof, deductible and roof costs, and move them further away in order to encourage them to come back, because they wouldn't have that. And we would basically be financing or insuring a more catastrophic type of loss as opposed to just simply a roof. Now, depending on how much rain damage is caused internally, you know, that could ultimately end up being catastrophic. And it's for these very reasons, because there are a lot of things outside of our control that is going into the decision-making of these insurance companies. Inflation, for example, it's not in our control. You know, right now, the government is spending money hand over fist. They're contributing to this situation that we have relative to inflation. Everybody says it. There are very few that are salmon swimming upstream that say something differently. And the reality is we have no control over that. They do, because the amount of, I mean, they're impacted as well, because the amount of what they pay in order to recover, 2x4s cost more, roofs costs more, this costs more, labor costs go up, whatever it may be, you're eating through their insurance policies at a much faster rate. So these are the things that are becoming more and more difficult, and in turn, the reinsurance costs, these insurance companies laying off their liability are facing the same thing, and what do they have to pay? Higher premium. Same thing we are. Because they're actually buying insurance too. So it's this convergence of a whole lot of issues. Some we have control over. Most we have no control over here, especially at a local level. So it seems to me that we need to think about this in a much different light. And obviously, it's not just us that are facing this. The insurance commissioner there, Ricardo Lara, is now suggesting that he wants to investigate the insurance company's finances. Well, they don't have to be there. Go look all you want. You may think they're BSing you on their financial health considerations. How much risk do they want to take as it relates to their balance sheet or otherwise? That's up to them. So, you know, the situation is going to continue to be an issue. They would very much like to stabilize premium costs, expand coverage as well. They understand the wildfire issue. They understand the earthquake issue. They understand that these are challenges for these insurance providers. And not unlike us, although we are in much better shape, the FAIR plan that they have in California only has a surplus of about $200 million. And they said that if they have another wildfire summer like they had last year, they'll be broke. And the financial stability of the FAIR plan is going to be upside down. And as they put it, we're one bad fire season away from complete insolvency. They go on to say, if this were on Wall Street because of all the regulatory requirements, I'm not sure you'd be able to get away with this. So these are challenges that we're having. And it suggests to me that we need to get a lot more serious about what we're doing here, and there has to be a much deeper dive into this issue. And it's why I keep asking the question. A lot of folks' expectation is that this is going to turn around in the near term. I don't think so. I think we're looking at a 3 to 5 to 6 year turnaround period before this happens. And in that period of time, we really should be taking that time to be looking at all kinds of alternatives as to what we could ultimately fund here and otherwise. We have limited assets, limited resources. We're going to have a tight budget. There's consideration of the state sales tax number that they passed temporarily going away. I know that there's a strong feeling about that. I'm not really big on increased taxes, but what I am big on is whether or not we are going to lose more population, and we'll talk to Allison Plyer about that in the 11:30 segment, about how much of that is actually driving this issue. Because we could get to the point of no return. And it may be that we want to keep that sales tax number in place to go fund something along the lines of what I have proposed to begin to think about, because I think that would have a much more immediate impact if you move them further away from liability, understanding that they have the desire to manage their losses in their balance sheet. And that way, everybody would be contributing on every purchase. I would go so far as to say the consideration audit might be that there would be no exemption on that, because every homeowner, every property taxpayer in this state would benefit, as well as those that rent, because the property owners, they would be able to reduce their insurance as well, would benefit. It seems to me that we're at a defining moment. There's not much time left here before this continues. I'm hearing from people every day that the number of insurance companies that we would hope had come back to the market by now, there are a number that said in the fall that they would be here in the spring. I'm told they're not here. And that will continue to be a problem for us. If we unfortunately have a storm this season and we take a hit, Katie, bar the door. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist here. This is very much reality. That's why I like to look to other areas to see what it is that they're doing in trying to manage some of the same situations that they have. What is the insurance industry's response to Mother Nature? It's the same. It's no different. And the realities are that the stability that we're hanging our hat on is not going to happen, in my opinion. I don't think things just happen. I believe that you have to make them happen. And you control to the greatest extent those things that you can control. And you leverage them. And you figure out how you can move the needle with these insurance companies. But just sitting back and changing and fine-tuning some policies, it needs to be done. It's not a criticism. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know that we're moving far enough, fast enough, for this to actually make the difference that we are looking for. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, the lines have been drawn. Dr. Christopher Tape says he is not resigning. A number of elected officials were signatories on a letter requesting his resignation. And joining us is Representative Mark Wright, Republican from District 77, Covington. He's also the Republican majority leader, joins us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Newell. Appreciate it. Happy to do it. Looking forward to a conversation.
So, Mark, obviously a lot of concern, not only amongst elected officials, but constituents in St. Tammany Parish. You guys felt strong enough to felt strongly about the issue that you authored a letter to Dr. Christopher Tape asking him for his resignation. He holds a press conference late in the evening, I guess the other night or in the morning, 20 minutes, says, I'm going nowhere. What's the next step?
So yesterday, the legislative delegation met with a variety of nurses and other active, you know, constituents in St. Tammany that are going to start a recall drive. We, you know, as I mentioned in the interview, or, you know, there's a few of us talking, obviously, at various points, but we have recalled a coroner in the past, and I like our chances of doing that. I think, you know, in most cases, I am very deferential to somebody that's elected, and imagine you have been too. You know, you want to respect that. Under these circumstances, it's really questionable. And then for this step to be taken, it's almost like a doubling down. As I mentioned, it's just, it's hard to see this in any other than a completely incompetent or nefarious way. I can't imagine someone in that position deciding to cancel a program, having only been in that office less than a year, walking in under the controversy, and then doing it in the middle of the night. The man won with no, you know, no one else qualified against him. It's not like he had an election and got a mandate, right? And I think all of us are, it's quite clear that had some of the information we have now been out there in a campaign, there's no way he would have been elected. So, yeah, it's the right thing to do. As far as we're concerned, we're very passionate, or we feel very strongly about it. That's why we did it. And we're going to take as many steps as we can to make that happen.
His initial statements about defending his decision to eliminate the SANE program, which is the Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner program, he's really not helping himself, right? He admits that he canceled the program not knowing anything about it, not knowing any of the details, and then pivots and says, we literally had a bomb scare last night, and that put us back about 5 hours. Well, what was so earth-shattering that you had to decide and make a decision on the SANE program in the middle of the night? And he goes on to say, I'm a businessman. It's not a moneymaker. Does he actually understand the role that he's playing?
No, I agree. In fact, there was a couple of nurses who were essentially fired at midnight Sunday night who were at the press conference yesterday here in the Capitol. And they got letters on Thursday after they had signed some kind of oath of office to the office, basically telling their positions were going to be terminated. So this was clearly contemplated. He did it by sending an email out like roughly a week or so before he was to take office, just to a couple of press members that apparently he really hadn't talked to since this controversy erupted. And I mean, I think, you know, especially, you know, previous your role, like when you're in public office, granted, you might have a decision to make on your own, but you do kind of, you consult with others at least, you know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? You go get feedback. You want to make sure the community is supportive of it. The really sad part is, look, this is a gold star program for the state and probably the nation, according to the experts. So we're talking about a long planned out, you know, reason to do these things for the Florida parishes. And, you know, government service isn't about making money. It's just that simple. I mean, look, yeah, you want to keep it tight. You want to save money where you can. You want to make smart, efficient decisions. But that is not the case here.
Well, at the very least, your constituents are owed the opportunity to have the discussion about it, right? And if he no longer wants to participate in the program, is to solicit those that may take up the mantle and provide the service. Because I don't think there's ever been a challenge or an argument as to the efficacy of this program, right?
No, there hasn't. I mean, as I understand it, over the years, there's been a slow discussion among regions is really what it was about, and to develop this, to provide this opportunity to have sexual assault, same program nurses go out and interview. I mean, as I understand it, like, you know, if you're in Washington Parish or Tangipahoa, and you've basically been assaulted, right? You go to an emergency room. With the program, you're going to have a qualified trained nurse go out, meet you, spend 4 or 5 hours with you. I mean, it's never happened to me, nobody in my family, but I got to imagine it's pretty traumatic, and we know a lot of women, or I guess men even, you know, they don't want to talk about it. It's kind of shameful. It's a very painful experience. So then if you get rid of the program, I mean, essentially what that means, you're going to go to a hospital and an emergency room nurse is going to take about 30 minutes to examine you, and that's it. And I mean, I think right in its face, you can see the difference in what you're going to get. I mean, our DA, who just got elected, but he's been around a long time as a prosecutor, certainly knows, you know, said he wants to talk to him about this. I mean, there's so much about this that matters, and it's just a shame, really. And it's not only a shame, but the thought that it's a subject matter that came up. He's admitted problems in the past. Had people known about this before he was elected, he probably wouldn't have been elected. So then to immediately go to this program, I mean, I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that are questioning, how the heck are you going to do that? Why would you do that? You know,
and then obviously he didn't read the room. That's what I was going to say. My next question to you was, you got to read the room. I mean, if they have angst and anxiety over the fact that you were the accused of a child sexual abuse charges in New Mexico, albeit 20 years ago, the first program you cancel is not the nurse assessment program for sexual assault victims.
I mean, absolutely. No, I mean, it's almost like you're begging to be thrown out. I mean, it does seem to feel like, I think you used the term, others have too. You know, he's kind of doubling down all of a sudden. It's just, I don't know. That's fine, you know, but we're pretty determined. And like I said, we're exploring all kinds of options.
If I didn't know better, I would think that he's going to volunteer to be the coordinator of his own recall just by the actions that he's taken.
That's right. That's right.
So, Mark, you got a few more minutes to spend with me. I'd love to take a break. I want to talk about the Constitutional Convention. And also, you have House Bill 533 that provides for appointment of justices of the Supreme Court that I'd like to talk about as well, if you have a few more minutes.
Definitely. Happy to do it.
All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Stay with us, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Representative Mark Wright, District 77 on the North Shore over in Covington. He's also the Republican Majority Leader. And as such, Mark, I was wondering if there are any more details about how this constitutional convention is supposed to work towards the end of this legislative session.
Yeah, sure. We don't have final details. I think we'll get that within the next week. But essentially, the idea is this is the perfect time to do it because you have a presidential election in the fall, so you get the maximum amount of voters out to support something. And then next year, as most people know, you know, it's a fiscal session. So that's when we'll face some real tough decisions. And always the problem has been the flexibility for the legislature to make decisions. And so the idea is that, at least as of right now, the bill that would be presented in this session that would set up the convention, the composition of which would be something along the lines of the legislature and perhaps some appointments from the governor. The main goal, and I can't imagine anything different coming out, would be within the last 2 weeks of the session, since we're here and have been here a lot for special sessions, so we didn't want to create something completely new for the summer, would be to take the Constitution, mark out the things that should stay in as constitutional, right? So, like, you know, how government functions, rights of people, things like that. Take everything else that most people agree should never have become constitutional and make them statutory. So, I mean, just for the sake of, you know, explaining to the listeners, I mean, we've had this for years. I campaigned on this issue, did a few bills. My good friend Neil Abramson did a bunch before I got there. I told him I wanted to pick up the torch after. There's others who have seen this. What has happened over the years since the 70s is that we've taken things that really are just what the legislature should decide, put it in the Constitution to protect it from people for one reason or another. It could be a special interest. It could be, you know, people just not trusting the legislature. I get it, but that's, you know, what happened. It takes 2/3 of a vote of the public to change it. And of course, I mean, you know, how much it costs to run a statewide campaign. So essentially, anytime you want to change something in the Constitution, which in most states would be statutory, you got to get 2/3 of the legislature, and then you need to get, you know, inform the public of it, which takes millions of dollars, and usually people don't have that. So that's the general game plan. You know, whether or not we can put it together in time, we'll see. But I'm very hopeful, let me say that.
Do you get the sense that this is going to be, you know, based on the details, where the devil's in the details, where the rubber meets the road? I mean, a lot of these things were put in the Constitution because the volatility of the issue and trust in the legislature itself and people wanting it to make sure that it was going to be permanent and not something that was going to be determined by the whim of a group of members. Because, you know, and as I read the room right now, legislative bodies are not polling very well. There's not a lot of trust in government, and the issues today are probably every bit as volatile as they've ever been. And, you know, and I know one of the things that's going to be in there is you got a lot of tax exemptions there. How do you deal with that?
No, that last subject's great. I'll bring that up, but let me address the first part, which is this. You know, definitely get it. I mean, I think what we've seen is a classic pendulum shift to go the opposite way too much, right? And so what we've done is basically boxed in a legislature that you can only do certain things. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, we had a $50 billion budget last year. Okay, so that's where it was. Only 12 to 13 billion is state funds. Everything else is federal, right? And then because of the nature of...
Well, everything else is dedicated. Not necessarily federal, but dedicated state funds or federal grants and funds, right?
Right. It's all it's all stuff that really can't be touched unless you do some sort of constitutional thing. So what you end up having is this smaller bucket, and that's why every few years, obviously during the Edwards term and before, you had to go to education and healthcare, right, to do any kind of cutting or stopping a budget. So I get it. I mean, I will say this, and I stand by this as strong as you can. It's like if the people want us to fix this state and set it up in a way we can flourish and really, you know, move on ahead, I think this is what we need to do. You know, remove some handcuffs. I mean, I get it. I get the trust thing. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, like, we elect representatives that go and make decisions. And the more you hamstring them or put cuffs on them, the more, you know, the product is not going to be substandard, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting about tax exemptions. You got a little bit over $7 billion worth of tax exemptions in this state, and that number's growing. As inflation goes up, that number goes up. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Let's pivot real quick because we only have a couple.
Can I address that real quick?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
I neglected to, if you don't mind, because I think that's an important subject. So I totally agree. We got a ton of tax exemptions. I did a bill a couple of years ago to just eliminate them. But I really just wanted to kind of test it, and I really wasn't serious about it because, you know, you only have two sessions with fiscal nature. Just to get a fiscal note and kind of get a sense of what was out there. I mean, got blown up statewide, right? Nobody wants us to touch any exemptions. They get it. You know how it is. And so there's clearly some things that changed there. But that is kind of a classic case of dealing with this Constitution, right? Like, let me just say this. Like, if the legislature could, instead of having to do some sort of amendment or some sort of two-thirds vote to change some of that, you could do it 50% plus one. You could give a haircut, right? So maybe we won't take them all away, but we'll cut. It's just sad, but that's the kind of things we haven't been able to do.
Well, I mean, the thing is it's mostly business exemptions, right? And they're the ones that have the largest lobbying groups up there, and they're the ones that have the most muscle and exert the most influence. The exemptions that actually, you know, apply to just a regular Joe citizen, you know, there's not a whole lot of say-so there. And that's where the battle starts. And you've got exemptions that are so out of date. I mean, it's just, but nobody wants to give it. No one wants to give it up. Look, everyone would love to live a tax-free life. I'm sure you would. I would. Everyone, you know, and it's just going to be interesting. Look, I get exactly the motivation, and I support it, quite frankly. But it always goes by the wayside when we get deep into the conversation. As you said, they blew it up last time. Hey, Mark, I would love to get you back on. We've run out of time to talk about your House Bill 533. If you don't mind, I'll have them reach back out to you because I think it's worthy of the discussion. For sure. And I thank you. I know you're busy. Thank you for your time and your insight this morning.
You got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. That's Representative Mark Wright, Republican District 77 over in Covington. And he's also the Republican majority leader. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, we're going to be able to reach out to someone in Baltimore to talk about the bridge collapse there. Ed Norris actually works at one of our Odyssey stations, 105.7. He's former law enforcement, so he's got a really good feel for the impact of this situation in Baltimore. So we look forward to visiting with him. And when we come back, we'll visit with Cornelius Bankston with our NOLA Coalition segment. He's the managing partner of The Lab by TechPlug, powered by Healthy Blue, and we'll visit with him about the mission and vision of that organization when we return. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.